Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. We're going to begin in verse 24, just a small story at the end of this chapter, but it is very important for us. Matthew 17, beginning in verse 24, this is God's word. After Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma tax came to Peter and asked, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes, he does," he replied. When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. "What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own sons or from others?" "From others," Peter answered. "Then the sons are exempt," Jesus said to him. "But so that we may not offend them, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4 drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. It's springtime, and we love the spring. The weather, generally speaking, warms up. All kinds of beautiful blossoms and blooms begin to appear. We see beauty everywhere. There is wonderful, there is wonderful pollen in the air. No, I mean aromas in the air. And all around us, the evidence of new life and spring is just delightful. But of course, with that comes tax season. I'm going to be meeting with an accountant next week to try and be sure that we pay the right amount of taxes this year, because that's the right thing to do. And if you want to know more about paying taxes and so forth, you ought to read Romans chapter 13, which tells us that we do it out of conscience, not just out of fear of being caught. We want to do the right thing, and therefore we need to pay what we owe. But what do we owe? I am perfectly happy to pay what I owe. I don't want to pay money I don't owe. It's called just being upright, responsible. So when the collectors of the 2 drachma tax came to Peter and said, "Does your master pay the tax or not?" Peter responded as you and I might have responded, and that is wanting to defend the integrity and uprightness of our master. Peter says, "Well, of course he does. Yes, yes, he does." Now, the 2 drachma tax was not a tax that the Romans put on the people. The 2 drachma tax was an annual tax paid by all adult males who were Jewish for the upkeep of the temple. In other words, it costs money to run places like that. And so they collected, going all the way back to the Old Testament times, by God's command, they collected money for the maintenance of the temple. I don't pay rent at my house. You know why? It's my house. Does that make sense? If it's your house, you don't pay rent. Jesus went into the temple And he said, it is written, my house will be a house of prayer. You've turned it into a den of robbers. And he turned over the tables where they were conducting business, and he chased the animals and the sellers out of the temple with a whip that he had made of leather thongs. This means it was premeditated. He didn't just fly off. Okay? Jesus actually thought ahead of time about what he was going to do, took some leather thongs, wove them into a whip, and then went in there and chased the bad people out of the temple. Is that pretty cool? Now, I'd like to do that sometime. Well, you can if it's your temple. Okay? You see, when Jesus went in there and did that, he was demonstrating not just how you're supposed to behave in church, which is you worship God, you pray, you don't turn it into a commercial enterprise. Jesus was also, however, demonstrating who he is. He was coming to his house. You remember when he was a little boy, 12 years old, and they went up to Jerusalem, and then they went back home, but Jesus didn't go with them? And a couple of days down the road, his parents are like, I haven't seen him. Have you seen him? No, I don't know where he is. So, well, we better find him. So they start looking for him, and finally they can't find him anywhere in the group that's traveling back. So they go back to the city, and they search the city. Where could he be? Where could he be? Has anybody seen this little boy? And they find him, age 12, in the temple, talking with the leaders and scholars of the day. And his mother is all upset with him and says, son, why would you treat us like this? And he said, didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? You see, Jesus knew who he was. Peter had already said, you are the Christ, the Son of the Most High God. So make the logical next step, Peter. When they came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. And he said, the kings of the earth, who do they exact taxes from? Is it from their sons? Or is it from others? And Peter said, others. He got that right. And Jesus said, yes, then the sons are exempt. Now, again, connect dots here. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, I'm the Son of God. I don't have to pay the temple tax. But Jesus did something he didn't have to do. He's going to pay the temple tax so that we may not offend. Okay? Do you ever do something you don't have to? I tell my wife when we're doing our taxes that I don't want to deduct the fact I've got a home office. That would save me some money. But I don't want to do that, and the reason is because if you claim a deduction for a home office, you increase the likelihood that you're going to get audited. Okay? The reason that I pay is not to keep from offending the tax man. I pay a little more than I owe in order to try and avoid the hassle of getting reviewed by the tax man. Jesus paid something he didn't owe, and it wasn't just the temple tax. Jesus, we've sung it before, paid a debt he didn't owe. I owed a debt I couldn't pay. He died to pay for my sins. This temple tax, very small stuff compared to the debt that we owed and he paid. But Jesus was telling Peter something about what it is to be God's child. And he was telling Peter something about who he is as the Son of God. Again, Peter had already said that about him, but Peter was failing to connect the dots. So Jesus points out to him, the sons are exempt. And the thing is, Jesus is not only the Son of God, but he came so that we could be part of God's family. The purpose of his coming and dying on the cross and rising again from the dead was not just to display his deity. It was to make it possible for us to be adopted into the family so that we become royalty. We become God's children. That is magnificent. What is your self-image? What is it based on? We're number one. We're number one. Is that what it's based on, really? Because you won a local whatever? Is that it? Or, like a lot of people, do you kind of feel like, you know, I'm really not very good at a whole lot of anything, and I hope no one will really notice me, because I'm afraid if they do notice me, they're not going to think well of me, and so I don't want attention. You've got some people who are begging for attention and other people who are trying to stay under the radar, right? Our self-image is likely to be distorted because of sin. We're kind of messed up, not only in our view of others, but in our view of ourselves. And Paul in Romans 12 says, we should not think of ourselves more highly than we ought, but we should think of ourselves soberly, according as God has given to each one a measure of grace. That is, a charisma. Nobody ever told me I have charisma before. It means a gift of grace. God has given you something you don't deserve, and that is a gift, which is to be used for the benefit of others, especially within the body of Christ. And so Paul in Romans 12 gives us a list of gifts and talks about how we should use them. And his point is, everybody who is in Christ Jesus is gifted. But the best gift of all is being in Christ Jesus. It's having our identity in him so that now it's not about me and what I can do. It's about him and what he has done. And our focus is not trying to get everybody to notice us. The focus is trying to get people to trust in him. Peter didn't understand the implications of who Jesus is, and he didn't understand the truth of who he was becoming in Christ. So Jesus asked the question, from whom do the kings of the earth collect taxes? From their sons or from others? Peter says, from others. And Jesus says, so the sons are exempt. His point was not about money. His point was not about taxes. His point was about the fact that the gospel tells us how we can become the sons of God. Remember in John chapter 1, when it says, came to his own didn't receive him, but to as many as received him, he gave the power to become the children of God. God sent his son so that you and I could be his sons and daughters. That is really good news.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents, and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
But then there's something else delightful that happens, that those of us who are in Christ Jesus need to take to heart, because it impacts how we live if we know it's true. There's a 2-drachma tax that needs to be paid. Where are we going to get the money? I'm a little low on coin today. Okay? How hard is it for God to solve financial problems? Does God look at our situation and say, oh golly, that needs to be in U.S. currency, doesn't it? Just a minute. I've got a bunch of Brazilian currency, and I don't think that'll help. I've got some Greek coins here. Is God having a hard time coming up with dollars? Not at all. He owns everything. He spoke the worlds into being. Everything that exists was made by him. So this is not hard for God. God's not fretting about, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? You got to give me some time here. This is one of the most unique miracles in Scripture. Jesus fed 5,000 men plus women and children. He fed 4,000 men plus women and children. He did a number of things with fish and with catches of fish. Jesus could have said, okay, Peter, I tell you what, you're a fisherman. I want you to go down. I'm going to let you catch a bunch of fish. We've done that before. We're going to do it again. Catch a bunch of fish, sell those. That'll be more than enough money to pay the tax. Jesus didn't do that. He did something so astounding and so memorable that I hope you never forget it. Jesus said to Peter, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4-drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours. I mean, do you get that? Jesus says the first one you catch is going to have a coin in its mouth, and that coin is going to be a 4-drachma coin, which is twice as much as you need to pay the tax. That'll cover you and me. This for a guy who sometimes said the right thing and sometimes said the wrong thing, who sometimes did the right thing and sometimes did the wrong thing. Jesus says, I don't know it. You don't know it. But we're going to pay it. And here's how. The disciples were not destitute. They had coins. They had money. Remember, Judas, who was their treasurer, used to steal money sometimes from the bag. He was an embezzler. Jesus was not sweating it. Judas is going to meet a very unhappy end. Meanwhile, Jesus is going to lay his life down for us. There's no amount of money that compares to what Jesus is doing. And that's still true today. There is no amount of money that compares to the debt that we owed and that Jesus paid for us. So in light of that, are you going to worry about finances? One of my happiest memories is the story we tell from time to time, true story, of when my parents ran out of food, literally. Dad was to be paid on Friday, and this was like Tuesday or Wednesday or something. I mean, it was middle of the week. And there wasn't any food left. We were poor enough that in order to make the food last, my mom did careful shopping and careful planning, and we were not allowed to go to the refrigerator or the cabinet and help ourselves to the food. Not permitted. And so she would, meticulously plan and budget. And so we didn't know that we were almost out of food until we were out of food. And so mom and dad mom said, kids, you need to gather in the living room. We'll be in a moment. Your father and I have something to tell you. And we got there, and we're sitting there, and mom and dad walked in, and mom said, your dad has something to tell you. And dad told us we were out of food. I was not hungry yet. It was mealtime, but, you know, I mean, you're a kid, and there's flexibility, and I was just shocked at the announcement. And they said, this is the first time we've ever run completely out in all the years we've been married. And we will not starve. Dad's getting paid on Friday. But between now and then, it looks like we're going to have to fast. So they said, we want to pray and thank God for the fact that he has been so faithful in providing for us up till now. And we know he's going to see us through. So we're just going to thank him. We're not praying to beg for food. We're praying to thank him for his faithfulness and what he's provided all these years. And so prayer together as a family was a daily occurrence in our home. That was not a surprise. We got on our knees to pray, as we would for devotions in the evening. And after we got down on our knees and we started praying, the doorbell rang. I was the youngest in the home. I was about 7 or 8 at this point. And it was my job to answer the door or the phone if there was a disturbance during family prayers. That was my job. And I'm, at that age, much more spry with better reflexes than I have now. So for me to jump up and get the door before any further disturbance took just a matter of a few seconds, okay? I mean, I'm up and I answer the door and there's nobody there. There's nobody there. The door is closed. There's no one on the porch. Can't tell who rang the bell. I look down the sidewalk. Nobody there. No one on the steps. No one on the sidewalk. No car in the driveway. No car out in front of the house. There's no, and we lived out in the country. So it's like, you know, I know this person didn't walk over. Okay? The only thing that was there on the front porch was a large roasting pan. And so I opened the door and went to lift the lid on it, and it was hot to the touch. So I didn't lift the lid on it. But I called my mom, and mom came, and what we found inside was a fully cooked ham and a whole bunch of vegetables ready to be served right then at mealtime. No note, no explanation, and no apparent human deliverer. We had food for that day and the next day, and Dad got paid on Friday. And we still had food from that meal on Friday. I mean, it was an ample provision for our family that is absolutely unforgettable to me. I would so much rather have that experience than to have grown up in a situation where I never knew what it was to have to depend on God to work miracles. Because that was preparation for what I'm doing now. God was teaching me that he's enough, that I can trust in him, that he'll always provide. Jesus said to Peter, go throw in your line, and the first fish you catch, look in its mouth, you'll find a 4-drachma coin. That's enough for you and for me. Go pay the tax. Let me tell you something, folks. That's my Jesus. He's still the same. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still answers prayer in miraculous ways and meets our needs in totally unexpected ways. But if you're not willing to obey him by walking into situations where you're going to have to depend on him, you're going to miss some of the greatest experiences in life. Do you really believe that you are his child? If you are, do what your father says. Do what the scriptures teach. Trust and obey. And God has promised that he will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You can trust him. Don't be afraid.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.